Hello.
That's about it.
Hello. Hey. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Can we please open this meeting with the serenity prayer? God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Before we get to the readings, I have an announcement to make. The committee, if you're a smoker, the committee would like you to please use across the parking lot, there's two picnic tables over there. The college does not allow smoking in or around these buildings. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we please have the press statement?
Dave Addy.
Dave.
Press media announcement. Statement to members regarding the press. As our 11th tradition says, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. The primary purpose of the public relations effort is to tell the story of Narcotics Anonymous and what our program offers to the still suffering addict. Members of the press are sometimes attached to our conventions. Members of the press are sometimes attracted to our convention, and we welcome their interest. However, we do not disclose our last names in the media as identifiable members of Narcotics Anonymous. A member of the press approaches you, please direct them to the chair or vice chair of the convention. Statement to the media. If any members of the media are present, we ask that you contact the chair or vice chair or person of the convention for information.
Thanks, Dave.
Can we please have the social media statement?
I'm an addict named Dan.
Dan.
Social media statement. With the widespread use of social media networking and social media by our fellowship indicates that these forums are resources that can serve to facilitate greater communication and interaction among Narcotics Anonymous members. With that being said, some of our members may not want to be depicted in photos on social media platforms. Please be mindful of this and get permission from members if you intend to post their photos on any type of social media.
Thank you.
Can we please have the clarity statement?
I'm an addict named Brian.
Brian.
And this is the clarity statement. At NA meetings, we introduce ourselves as addicts. When members introduce themselves as addicts and alcoholics or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that somehow one drug is separate from the rest, requiring special recognition. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive in reference to the disease of addiction, allowing us to focus on our similarities and not our differences.
Thank you.
Can we please have who is an addict?
Addict, Charles.
Charles.
Who's an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same, jails, institutions, and death.
Thank you.
And please, why are we here?
I'm an addict named Butch.
Butch.
And why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we cannot handle our own lives. We cannot live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different than we thought we had found in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail and sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point and recovery is impossible.
Thank you.
Tonight we're going to have chats on the symbol. Our first speaker is Ben from Virginia.
Benham Addict.
Amen.
Bear with me. This is my first time speaking at a workshop. I'm going to do my best just to share my experience, strength, and hope with the symbol as I've come to know it based on what I've learned in the program. As it says in there, simplicity is the key. So I'm going to try to keep this as simple as I can and not complicate it too much. Our symbol starts with the outer circle, which represents an addict, any addict, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion, that this fellowship is all-inclusive. Within that is the diamond of God, self, society, and service. It's all based in goodwill, and at the point of that is freedom. So within my time in the program, I found, and they told me to build a network, and, I can remember coming in, and my first introduction to the aspect of goodwill was going to meetings and the love that was carried to me, wherever I went, whether I was the only one in my age range, ethnicity, whatever it was, everyone was just happy to see me there, greeted me with hugs and love, and kept telling me to keep coming back. Throughout my time, that's transitioned into, hearing do the next right thing for the next right reason, greeting the newcomer when they come in the same way I was greeted, learning through my sponsor that we don't shoot our wounded, so on and so forth. Because I know after my relapses, it was tough to come back in because guilt and shame. But I was welcome back just like I was welcome the first day I showed up. I need to try to remember to base my program in goodwill. They told me the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. So I found that the larger my network that I've built throughout the years being in here now, the greater the potential of perspectives I have and the more solutions to problems I come across are. No matter what it is, I've got a network full of people that have been through all types of experiences and stayed clean through it. And I've actually encountered times in this past year and stuff that I've been through some things that I had some faith that I could get through clean because I heard other people share their experience, strength, and hope on getting through the same situations clean. So within the four sides, God, self, society, service. Self to me is, that's where the 12 steps let me work on me. That's where it put me in touch with the God of my understanding. That allows more of the whole aspect of the program to work in my life. Service I was introduced to fairly early on, and there's all aspects of service, everything from showing up to a meeting to holding a position in the home group to area service, region, worlds, serving on subcommittees for whether it's your area, region, conventions. I got to come to ECCNA 2 years ago with a guy. All I knew is I was going to a convention. I had no idea he was going for more of service purposes. And he apologized to me after the convention, the fact that we only got to sit in on like one workshop. But I got to see the whole aspect of what he was doing that was service and everybody that he was working with. And I really enjoyed that aspect of things, seeing everybody work together for a common cause to carry the message, because that's our primary purpose. It's what this is all about. Right before I left that convention, one of the guys from my area who I didn't know but so well, I left Virginia, went to Maryland to build my Richmond network stronger. I had no idea that was going to happen. But the last thing he told me before I left that convention was service work will keep you clean. And it definitely has been a big part of me staying clean. It gave me commitments and reasons to stay clean months ahead of time. Not that that could actually keep me clean one day at a time. So, you know, being asked to speak at this came through, you know, using aspects of my network and everything I've learned within the program. I was up here in January visiting relatives, and my aunt asked me, did I need a meeting? My response to her was, I didn't necessarily need one, but it wouldn't hurt. So she started trying to find a meeting in her local town through people she knew that were in one fellowship or another through her job. I remember that the convention this year was in Pittsburgh. I reached out on the Facebook group, got hold of a meeting list, went to a meeting, saw some of the guys I'd actually seen come down to bring the bid for ECCNA at that meeting, spoke with one, and next thing I know, I'm being asked to share in a workshop. You know, as I've worked on myself using God and service is where I've learned more about traditions. Was that, you know, they told me the steps help me live with me and the traditions help me live with you, which using all that has helped me be a better individual in society. You know, I'm not out there breaking the law, other than maybe speeding, but I'm trying to be, you know, a productive member of society these days. You know, carrying the message to the next addict, whether it's somebody that's already in the fellowship or not. Now I've even found that it's very strange how no matter where I go sometimes, how far away I go, I run into somebody that just, they need to have a talk with me, whether they're going through something personally or know somebody that is. And as I use all four sides of this pyramid and try to keep them in some type of balance, and my great grand sponsor, when he was still with us, he passed away clean, described balance as like trying to hold a broomstick, continually moving. And it really resonated with me because I'd found already that trying to keep balance in my life was ever changing within these four areas of recovery for me. And through using all of this to and trying to maintain a balance, which, you know, the more life and more society that I have going into my recovery, because they told me recovery was a lifestyle choice. And it, you know, it gets to me sometimes when I hear people share about, you know, they have too much going on to make a meeting or this or that. I found for me personally, the more I have going on in my life, the more I need to lean on my network and the more sanity that I keep when I do. And that's part of my balance. And throughout all of this, and the more I'm involved with my step work, the better connection I have with my higher power, the more I try to be a better citizen in different areas, and the more service work and the more I give back, because I can only keep what I have by giving it away, the more peace and serenity and happiness I have in my life. And that to me is the freedom. It's the freedom from active addiction is not just me not having the desire to use drugs. It's me not acting out in behaviors that, you know, cause chaos in my life. It allows me to just live more free within myself. You know, and it all started with the goodwill of the first people greeting me when I came in and giving me hugs, telling me they loved me. They said, you know, nobody told you they loved you today, I love you. Lean on us till you can stand on your own. Keep coming back. I had a lot of people reaching out, supporting me with this obligation to speak tonight, which I didn't even look at it like that. I looked at it as an honor, even though when I was first told about being asked to do things, we don't say no to NA.
That's right.
So I didn't even hesitate. You know, it's a privilege to be here. It's not something that I could have ever imagined doing. You know, that's all I got. I'm just trying to keep it simple.
Now our next person is going to share is Dan T. from Beaver Valley Narcotics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm an addict.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. I take a minute to pray, to your God if you like, so I speak the truth and speak from the heart. Okay. So, again, I'm Dan. I'm an addict. Changed in that second there. I do that because I'm really nervous, man. I'm not like, you know, your social butterfly guy. I don't have good people skills or nothing like that. And I get in my head like, this is about me, and that it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Narcotics Anonymous and how it saved my ass. And that's it, you know. When they ask me to speak, you know, like the ego kicks in. Wow, East Coast Convention. Oh man, okay, you know, yeah. I don't say no, regardless of what it is. But my ego kicked in, and then after I digested it a bit, I said, "What the hell did I say yes to?" I'm like, oh, God, I gotta do what? No. So I am actually terrified, and I can tell my story. I've told my story many of times, but like on a specific topic, and I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. You know. But I prepared and I prayed, and I'm showing up, so it's, after that, it's none of my business, right? I believe that I can like talk in tongues up here or cluck like a chicken, and you guys will still love me, right? I know you will. I know most of you. I can do whatever, and you guys will still love me. And first off, thanks to God that asked me to speak. It's a chance to serve, and anytime it's a chance to serve, I know what service is. It's one of my biggest tools to recovery and self-respect and love and that. So anytime I get a chance to, I welcome that, even if I don't want to do it. So thank you for the opportunity. And it was a cool opportunity because, you know, I can't say I didn't pay attention to it because I make stuff, you know what I mean? I make jewelry and stuff out of exotic woods and do some silversmith and that. And I made a whole hell of a lot of NA symbols, like necklaces and earrings and brooches and that. I even bought a symbol book and, you know, to make other things also. I was thinking about getting a little website, calling it Symbols, you know. And so when they said my topic was symbol, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Okay. But I had that opportunity to dig into some information about this symbol, and I've learned a lot of stuff about that, and I thought it was really cool because I got a really new appreciation for what we have today as a fellowship as opposed to what it was way back when. I'll share this with you. A couple things I stumbled across in that. There's an article written by White and Chris and Boyd, and it's called history and culture of NA. It's like 38 pages, man. I'll tell you what, read that. Do yourself some justice and read that. And then Boyd and Chris went off on their own and they did like a presentation. They traveled the country and that, and they got a YouTube thing out. It's called The History of NA, The Early Years. Man, you know what? It's worth, you know, your hour, your time. I just really, really dig that. It's crazy what they did to people back then. Oh, my God. And the way we have it now. And another guy, Greg P., he did a thing on the symbol back in '88, and he breaks it down like you were sharing. Like, he uses the steps of self and the concept for service and traditions for society, and then the tenets, the spiritual tenets for God. I don't even know what the hell they are. It's the first time I heard of that. Well, but that's worth reading. It's like 8-9 pages, and that's really, really good stuff, how he breaks that down on that. A little history of the symbol. It was first appeared in the 60s. A guy who was part of the founding members, you know what I mean? He helped start NA. He had 17, 18 years clean, and he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And through his rehabilitation, he did a leather craft to learn a different trade. And he made the symbol for the first time, as it appears, the circle with the square in it. And so then after that, it kind of like just laid in dormant. And then the next time it appeared was in the mid-70s. It was modified, and it said with it, it said approved literature, and they were stamping the little white book. So that meant that was approved literature, and this was the next time it appeared. And shortly after that, in 76, it was published. It appeared in the front of the NA tree, and that was a service booklet, NA service booklet, the NA tree. And that was a very important piece of documentation for NA, but also the description that we see in our book was in that also, and it's almost identical to what it is today. So I'm not going to read the whole description to you. I'm just going to use it and talk about what they say in there. Simplicity is the key. To the symbol, it imitates the simplicity of our fellowship. So for me, you know, like, I think a KISS, keep it simple, stupid, because, you know, program, a simple program for complicated people, and I was like, I got to invent the wheel, and it's got to be, and I don't have to do nothing but show up. You know what I mean? When I first got here, all I had to do was show up. Fortunately for me, I got my ass kicked enough. I had the gift of desperation. I spent 3.5 decades out there just punishing myself. That's how long. I got a big heart, big spirit. It took that long to kill it, and I was just done. I couldn't stand another second of that pain, and I knew where to come. And I showed up here, and you guys loved me, man. You met me with open arms and hugged me, I show up with a desire. And met with love, and I got into a group of, I don't know, I was really fortunate, like 20 or more people had 5 or more years clean, and did all kinds of things, retreats, camping, caving, spelunking, remember Joe, and whitewater rafting, just movies, everything. And I didn't do social media, but they made sure I knew about it. They'd say, hey, Dan. Hey, they called me and say, hey, Dan. Now, my responsibility was to put myself in front of them. That's all I had to do in the beginning, was show up and be willing. You know, one of my favorite things in the book is we didn't stumble in here brimming with open minds. It's like sarcastically funny, you know what I mean? No shit. I love that. So that's something in there. But I wasn't, but I didn't have to be. I didn't have to do nothing but show up, man, and not get high and put myself in front of them. I continued. Then I identified. You know what I mean? I identified. Like, I was at a retreat. I was actually on a second step. and I was at a retreat, and I was on fire with it because the people I'm running with, they got it going on. They got that sparkle in their eye. They got friendship. They got jobs. They're going to school. They're doing it all. So then, you know, it's not like bullshit. And they speak my language. They talk about the pain and misery of where I come from. You know, like the stuff that doesn't have words that we know what we're talking about. And I see them living like that. I'm like, man. So I'm at the retreat and I'm running. I'm going to every meeting. I was 3-4 meetings into it and that. And then it hit me. Holy shit, Dan. Everybody talking is different. They're different ages. They're different sex. And they're different ethnicity. They're just all different. But they're saying the same thing. They're saying, they're talking about the horrors of addiction that I can still relate to that today, that misery. And they talked about how the program has worked for them. And I knew they weren't lying because I'm running with a whole bunch of them and they're doing it. I'm like, oh my God, this could work for you too, dude. This actually could work for me. I don't have to be a miserable prick anymore. I knew drugs and alcohol and use it was my problem. I knew it wasn't helping me any, but I didn't know any better than that. But I didn't think there was anything going to stop the misery and pain in the way I thought about myself. Nothing. And that hope and that love, it was huge, man. It was huge. I've been all in since then. I've been all in since then, and so I just keep putting myself in front of people that can feed me and that, you know. So, yeah, man, show up. Put it down, show up. The next thing is the circle denotes the universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of recovering person. I mean, that really leaves the door open, doesn't it? Recovering, it doesn't even say addict, it says recovering person. So it doesn't fucking really matter, does it? You know what I mean? And then it's total, universal, and all. So it means it'll work for anybody, anywhere, anytime. And it's all you need, it's total. So, I mean, like, there's no requirement for membership but the desire to stop using, right? Any addict. And it doesn't matter. All that matters is what you want to do about your problem, how we can help, right? That's all that matters in that. So don't ever disqualify yourself. We all belong here. I just know. Can you imagine if there was criteria, like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so you didn't use like I did, or you're not from where I'm from. You know what I mean? Or you didn't get high enough, or you got too high. You know, or you're too fat. You're too ugly. You're too dumb. I know I would have never made it here, and I don't think the program would be still around in that, you know what I mean? So we all belong here. We all bring something to the table. It's a funny thing, like when my two boys were young, I don't know how it started. I think I put them up to them. They used to tease me. They would say, Dad, you're stinky. You can't see. You can't smell. You can't hear. You're fat. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're bald. All that stuff, you know. And I thought it was funny because none of it was true, right? But today it's all true. It's all true, but it don't matter because you guys love me anyway, right? So, and I would have been disqualified on all levels with all that, right? I even never. You can't come here. Look at you. Get out of here. Yeah. But fortunately for me, it don't matter, man. You know, we're all the same. Like, I think the biggest thing is if I can look at you in your eyes and see me, I'm on the right path, man. I'm on the right path. That anonymity and a humility that we learn here, I mean, I don't know, man. I'll take that over anything, really. Mm-hmm. So... a little tidbit of information. Jimmy Kay seen the importance of, you know, separation, you know. So when they were, like, when they got back together and they were rewriting the AA steps to NA version of it, the first step, they were like, you know, powerless over alcohol. a bunch of people wanted to put narcotics, they wanted to put barbiturates, they wanted to put drugs, all that. And he said, no, man, addiction. Addiction, all inclusive. It doesn't matter what you reach for, that there's a problem there, there's something, there's a need. Well, what's the matter that I gotta want to change my state? What's going on? And that's my problem, man. I have problems accepting my reality, and I just don't want to. I don't want to feel that. And I thought my answers was in drugs. And, well, I don't know how that we know how that turns out. So the next part of that is the where base represents goodwill, the ground of both the fellowship and the members of our society. So, first thing of that is really important is the ground. I mean, like, you know how you ever hear people at a meeting say, you got to have a good foundation. You got to have a good foundation, you know, and so when things get, you got to, you know, well, your foundation is built on the ground. So this is like, you know, where you start from. This is extremely important. So good work is where we start from. When I think about that, you know, it says the best example is best exemplified by through service, and proper service is doing the right thing for the right reasons. That sounds to me like spiritual principles, right? So we learn spiritual principles when we come in here, and that. Again, I'll go back to that. I didn't come in here brimming with honesty, open mind, and willingness. I was a miserable prick. I just wanted pain to stop. Right? That's all I wanted. I didn't know what was in store for me. And I learned spiritual principles through working the steps, through working with my sponsor. You know what I mean? Through sharing honestly. You guys taught me that stuff. You taught me about honesty. You taught me about willingness. You taught me about patience. I remember calling my sponsor, and he would just listen. I did the, sixth step? I'm a good addict. I found online there were, like, a character defect list. There was, like, 185 fucking character defects. I'm going to do that, because I'm a good, I had, like, three. He's like, dude. But he listened. It took us two cities, but he listened to me. He listened. So, and if he didn't have the answers, advice, he didn't make shit up. He just sent me to someone else. He taught me about planning. He taught me about being like love and self-respect and that. So I learned from you guys, my sponsor and a 12-step, what goodwill is all about. You know what I mean? And so, so with that, with the goodwill, I'm gonna do some work. I'm gonna do some work on myself. I'm gonna do some work in society. I'm gonna do some work with God. I'm gonna do some work in service, and that the four sides. Because that goes to the next part. The four pyramid sides that rise from the base, a three-dimensional figure to represent self, society, service, and God, all rise to a point of freedom, and that. And so first off is like self in there, and like I gotta say this, like it's not separate, you know what I mean? I don't just work on self, I don't just work on society. I think it all like life, man. I think that's the relationships of life, man. That's everything. That's all the relationship when you think about it. You know, that's everything about me. You know. So that's all the relationships, like, and you know, work on me helps in this one. Work with you, loving you helps with my self-respect. So it's all kind of like intertwined together, and I can't like separate that. But for like self, first it was freedom from active addiction. As soon as I put that shit down, I ceased to be a menace. I wasn't hurting people anymore, you know what I mean? I wasn't creating that pain and that shame and guilt, you know what I mean? It stopped, and, you know, and after I was done smoking from fucking using, my body's like stopped smoldering, and I can actually hear you guys. it started to sink into me. You know, like I told you, running around with those guys started sinking to me. And my deal, my problem is me. So freedom from self, because I was always, you know, in my head, I was, you know, regretting and shameful of the past, and fear, like the book says, I'm fearful for the future. You know what I mean? And I didn't have no time for present because I was all in there. I got twisted up really young, and I closed up, and I closed up, and there was nothing getting in there, nothing's getting in there. And then as I grew and making stupid decisions, and I based on that, you know, that walls and that shell just got thicker and thicker and thicker, and nothing. All the things that are worth experiencing in life, I could not experience. You know what I mean? I was pretty much resigned to the fact that I was always going to be a miserable prick. There was no hope. I knew drugs and alcohol weren't my answer, but I didn't know what to do about it. I had no idea what to do about that, and I just like, okay, this ain't gonna help you anymore. But I guess you're just gonna have to be this miserable person. That's sad, man. That is super sad. That's how I felt. You know what I mean? Before I came here, before you guys lit my soul up. And honestly, yeah, man, just what we do here, working the steps, sharing honestly, you know, and like she was sharing, I got to tell my truth. I got to tell you what's going on there. I got to share my secrets with you. I got to tell you everything about me. I got to tell you what I'm ashamed of. I got to tell you what I did. I got to share that. Every time I do that, it loses power on me. And every time, so first time I trusted my sponsor, I shared that with him, my deepest, darkest secrets. And the reason I had the strength, I heard somebody sharing it from the podium. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How do you do that? That's courage. That is super courage. I did owe my sponsor. He didn't betray my trust. He still loved me. So I found out, you know, through my recovery, men that I learned to trust and built relationships, I give them that. And every time I've done that, man, I've got freer and freer and freer. And it's getting easier to do. Matter of fact, I'm going to meet with my sponsor Sunday and share some other stuff that I haven't actually told anybody. It's time, man. It's time. I got to get rid of it. There's something going on, and I think that's part of it. I got to get rid of that stuff and that. And then we're going to move into society. So what society, you know, when you think of that, I think it is as anything that isn't God himself. So everything else, my family, my work, my society of men and women, my peers in Narcotics Anonymous, my community, you know what I mean? So with that goodwill, with those spiritual principles, you know, it's crazy now for me what that is. I was at odds with everybody. There was a lady that would feed cats in my yard, and I didn't want to feed cats in my yard. And I was going to fuck her. We were out there. Yeah, I was going to punch her. Yeah. I was this close to punching this old lady in that. I mean, is that insanity or what, man? I mean, what's the matter with you? That's how freaking nuts I am. Now today, that lady's a good friend because of the program. It was Christmas. I brought her a pie and told her I was sorry, and she goes, "Me too." And now she leaves me baked goods all the time. She hangs them on my door and on my mouth and leftovers. And I'll tell you what, she can cook too. That was a good move. But they'll knock on my door and say, "Did." Could you help us? Hey, Dan, can you? And they know I will. You know what I mean? So I learned to listen through you guys, and then I walk my dog. I got a dog. Everybody knows him in the valley. He's the mayor. He's the Beaver Valley mascot. And he's a cool dude, right? And I walk all over, and I talk, and I talk. And people, just because I know how to listen, and that, they'll tell me stuff. I mean, those chairs have really intimate stuff with me that they probably don't have no one else there. And all I, like one guy, I wanted to run. He was telling me about his wife dying and stuff. And I wanted to run. When you feel that stuff, like you don't know what to do, I want to get the fuck out of here. I says, no, Dan, you don't got to do nothing but listen to this guy. So I stood there in front of him. I gave him my time and I gave him my presence. I gave him everything. There's nothing more important that's what's in front of me at any given time, nothing what's in front of me. So I listened to that guy. And he told me some more stuff. Every time he hugged me, I love you. And I get that a lot in my neighborhood, man. And that's just because of this, what I do here. So in society, I take that goodwill when I hear it. And you know what? When I feel like I belong and I'm part of that thing, I am free, man. That's all I ever wanted was love. I wanted to belong, have purpose and meaning. You talk about freedom, man. Lately now, okay, so I got a buddy, John. I got a key to his house. He lives down the street. I like to leave my dog in there and watch him. He doesn't care, no problem. I'm a two-time felon crackhead fuck. And people trust me like that. That's the power of this program. And so recently there's a guy, his neighbor, talks to John, finds out I like to fish. So he wants to be friendly. Hey, and he wants to plan a trip to Canada and you know, all over the place and that. And, you know, he's retired, got a lot of money and that. And it's like, me? Okay. And another guy, same thing. He got a boat. When we put it in the water, let's go down. He's not my kind of people. I'll never go with that guy. But still, you know what I mean? I don't like him that much. But I talk to him and give him time. But I'm not going to go take a boat ride with you. I'm sorry. Not my kind of people. But the point is, because of this program, I get to be me. And I'm a kind, loving dude. And people appreciate authentic 5 minutes. You know what? I didn't think I was going to be able to do any of this. I didn't have to do any of this shit. So where the hell was I? Society? All right, 5 minutes. I like I told you about service, goodwill and service. Now, I can't say enough about service and how important it is to me in my recovery. I'm responsible for my freedom, my self-respect and love and that. To think that I'm part of the solution and not the problem, to think that I can make a difference, I'm a selfish. I'd steal your teeth if I could get away with it. I would. I didn't care. I did so much creepy shit. But I know today what I'm looking for comes from that. I know that. Like, when in giving, I receive what I'm looking for. I want love and I give that through that. And I know I said selfless service, but I can't know what I know. I know by doing that, I fulfill my heart. So it's kind of like alternative mode, whatever. I don't give a shit. I don't know what that's like. A paradox for me. I don't care. I'm just gonna do it, and I know I don't care if it's selfish or not. It's just feels like the right thing to do, and that. The last one is God. Now that's my struggle. I think because I think God and me and you and everything is all the damn same. And if I have a problem with me, I have a problem with God. And it's been a long road trying to love and heal and respect myself and that. So God thing, because I always blame God and Mom, and it was all your fault. If you didn't make me the way I was, I wouldn't feel the way I do. And if I didn't feel the way I do, I wouldn't use. And if I didn't use, I wouldn't do all this stuff. And blah 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 blah. And then I never had to take responsibility for what the hell I was doing. But today I don't believe any of that stuff. And although it's a hard road to get that out of me, it's just still so ingrained in me. I did it for decades. I felt that way for decades. It just doesn't go away with the snap of the finger. But I do know this today. I'm free enough to know that I do not have to understand God. I do not have to define God. All I have to do is experience Him. And I experience Him when I feel your love. And I experience Him like, when I'm overwhelmed with gratitude of where I'm at today and where I was and what this program has done for me and how beautiful my life is and the rich relationships I have. That's how I experienced God. And it could stay that way. And 10, 11, and 12 helped me maintain that. 10, I'll keep my street clean. I keep the obstacles out of the way there. You know, do that moral inventory and just keep it clean and own up to all of that. 11, I get to stay present and be conscious of that contact. You'll be aware of the connection and that. And then 12, I get to practice goodwill and service. So, you know what I mean? I'm on the right path. I know that. And I don't want to, like, mess that up at all on that. So I'm going to close. I'm going to read this, and it'll be done. I talked enough. I can't believe I got through this. Symbols are the living mirrors of the deepest understanding that we have no words. They hold unmeasurable meaning that has the power to call into being all that lives in us and about us. They help us bear witness to the painful mysteries of life. So when I look at the symbol here, you look at my work. Look at it. Look. First, I misspelled this, and I didn't put service here. And I'm a detailer. I mean, it's very important for me to get shit right. You know what I mean? I that's what I do. What can I say to that? But when I look at that symbol, I see everything, man. I see you guys. I see Lam. I see everything that means anything to me when I see that symbol. And wherever I go, I see it on someone's car or not. I know I'm welcome. I know it's everything to me. And I know, you know what I mean, if you just show up, it could mean the same thing to you, man. There's plenty of people in here I know that's what it means to them, too. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Can we please, I want to thank the speakers. They've been awesome. Totally awesome.
Thank you.
Can we please read Do Recover?
Josh, I'm radically Josh. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma.
What is it?
There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to a better end, be those institutions or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Josh.
Josh, I'm going to read the third step statement, and then we'll close. As many addicts have said, take my will and my life.
I mean my recovery. Show me how to live.
You guys did good.
Proud of you.
Right?
I'm going to make it.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Ben, can you take us on with the Wii version?
Let this circle represent what we can do together, we can never do alone. Who brought us here?
God. Grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.